This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published monthly by the Masonic Service Association of North America since 1923. I'm here today with Most Worshipful Brother Russ Charvonia, past Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of California. He will be delivering Volume 92, Number 4, from April of 2014, Civility of His Authorship. Brother Charvonia?
My brethren, I believe we have a problem in today's society, that the world about us is becoming increasingly uncivil. Polarized and hostile speech dominates the media, our political arenas, and our everyday lives. The media plays the political game as if it were entertainment tonight, and this behavior has become epidemic. It is a pandemic that we allow to spread like a virus. It is costing us money, our health, and our dignity, and is putting our democratic heritage in jeopardy. A 2013 nationwide survey found that Americans encounter various acts of incivility an average of 17 times during the course of a week, half of it in their real-life interactions, and the other half in online encounters. And I don't think this is purely an American phenomenon. We tolerate being talked at instead of talking with each other. Listening has become an endangered skill. We have allowed divisions to grow into chasms so deep that simply getting people into the same room to talk has become difficult, and at times impossible. We have allowed ideological intolerance to evolve into self-righteousness, condemnation, and ultimately persecution. And we all know that's wrong. And let's admit it, this incivility even makes its way into our lodge rooms. I have to believe that each of us has been witness to situations where brothers have disturbed the peace and sanctity of our lodges by bringing inappropriate and undesirable behavior and attitudes across the threshold. I believe that if we don't address the state of affairs now, incivility will soon become our new normal. And when this happens, we may be within just a single generation of it becoming so ingrained in our collective psyche that our children and grandchildren may not know any other way. Do we really want to imagine such a world? We seem to be completely devoid of statesmen, and I lament this deficiency. And yet we continue to accept this ugly condition. Why? Why are we willing to concede that this is simply the way it is, and that nothing can be done to stem the tide? Could it be that we, along with so many others in society, feel powerless to do anything about it? As Thomas Paine said in his 1776 essay, "These are the times that try men's souls." When we are uncivil to one another, we silence the other person. We take their voice away. This is not a Masonic value. As Masons, we are about allowing and perpetuating alternative voices and ideas. Masonic lodges have long promoted the democratic habits of generous listening and civil discourse. My brethren, civil dialogue is the cornerstone that allows us to see things from a more enlightened perspective. This is not about avoiding difficult and complex topics. It is not about just being nice and keeping the dialogue on a superficial level. It does not silence those who wish to be heard. Instead, civil dialogue allows all voices to be valued, including those that may be of a perceived minority view. And it can be achieved. We can restore civility back in society. There are some who are convinced that the uncivil dialogue going on about us will correct itself in due time, perhaps when the U.S. Congress turns over. Many believe the pendulum is simply on its preordained arc, and we should just wait for it to return to center. And these people may be right, but at what cost? The longer we allow this poor behavior to continue, the more it becomes habit. We need to break the vicious cycle before it becomes so embedded in our social DNA that it will take a generation or two to have any chance of reversal. Why should we accept this risk? Uncivil behavior often triggers a physiological response in us that perpetuates this dangerous cycle. It limits the ability to have complex conversations and stops learning in its tracks. But masonry is different. The world is politically divided and antagonistic. Masons are taught to be good citizens and to welcome the opinions of others. The world is often dominated by factions that are hostile, confrontational, and rude. Masons learn how to be civil and respectful. The world is fractured by religious intolerance and bigotry. Masons respect all religions and welcome all believers in the great architect of the universe, in whatever form that belief may take. So if society hungers for a return to civility, and if we, as Masons, have the common language, tools, values, and desire to create a better world, isn't it our duty to do all that we can to breed civility back into society? Aren't we uniquely positioned to tackle this problem? I hope you feel yourself starting to consider what we, as a society of friends and brothers, might do to help our world to become a more hospitable place. While it is human nature to point the finger at someone else as the cause of some rampant incivility, I believe each of us needs to first look inside ourselves and ask in what ways we might need to modify our own behavior. None of us will ever be a perfect Ashley, as each of us has rough and superfluous edges that need to be constantly chipped away. When we first crossed the threshold into a lodge of entered apprentice Masons, our brothers impressed upon us the importance of learning to subdue our passions and of keeping our desires within due bounds toward all mankind. This lesson should be our constant reminder in all our doings, and will help us to deal with our fellow citizen in a civil manner. We can also begin by presuming decency in others. If we hold tightly to the notion that people around us are as decent as ourselves, trying like us to muddle honorably through life, then we will likely find ourselves acting more civilly. This presumption of decency in others is not naivete, but instead requires a certain amount of understanding of human frailty. Rather than expecting perfection in those around us, we should recognize this frailty and be generous in our judgment. Today's political dialogues could particularly benefit from the recognition that both parties are led by imperfect, but not terrible people, whose mistaken policies are more often the result of error rather than evil. And while it is perfectly acceptable and even encouraged that we debate policies where we have disagreement, we must always respect the office that our representatives hold. The demonizing of others is the lowest form of human behavior. As Thomas Jefferson said to William Hamilton in 1800, "I never consider a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy, as cause for withdrawing from a friend." And we can go further, my brothers. The need for safe and open dialogue about difficult and complex subjects has certainly not diminished. There just aren't the places and opportunities for this to occur anymore. We need to be communicating in more than 140 character sound bites, and we need to return to real face-to-face conversations, and we can provide the forums to do so. As Masons, we can serve as catalysts for change and facilitators of civil dialogue. We are well-skilled and aptly qualified to teach those in our midst the means of treating each other with dignity and respect. And perhaps most importantly, we can be instrumental in this effort because we have what I refer to as the perfect and unique delivery system to promote civil dialogue. We have more than 1.5 million men across North America who have each taken an obligation to support each other and our fellow citizens, utilizing a common language and a system of morals and values. For example, when we as Masons meet on the level, we set the stage for a dialogue where every voice matters. We can share this concept with others in an effort to improve our world. As Masons, we are stewards of the language of civility, but we cannot keep it hidden in our lodge rooms. Our communities need what we have to offer. I believe that together, we can build a toolbox of resources that can be used by Masons throughout North America to engage in civil dialogue and create more effective communities. Our lodge leaders will be able to use these tools in their own lodges, homes, and workplaces. Their brethren will be able to teach those in their own communities how to have difficult conversations while treating each other with the proper respect that every human being deserves. The set of skills contained within this toolbox will be useful for achieving not only our own personal best, most civil nature, but also for helping others to create theirs. The National Civility Center has helped us develop and organize this approach. This organization was created in 2000 to promote civility in America by engaging local communities in civil conversation. Part of the development of this toolbox may be establishing a formal relationship with the National Civility. Think for a moment about how we might take the working tools of Freemasonry to fill this symbolic toolbox with implements that can be used to create and demonstrate civil behavior. How might we utilize the plumb, square, level, compasses, and even the trowel to illustrate and explain to our non-Masonic friends how to deal with each other from a point of enlightenment? I recently read an article in the Wall Street Journal in which it stated, Freemasonry, a global fraternal organization that dates to the 18th century with the goal of making good men better, was once a major force in American society. Once was? I think it is time that we let the world know that we never stop pursuing this lofty goal of improving our world and ourselves, and that we are still a major force in society. As I have shared this concept over the course of the past year, I have heard a resounding chorus of agreement from our brethren. They are thirsting for this and want to jump on the bandwagon for change. As the current and future leaders of our beloved craft, one of our roles is to engage more of our members in our respective jurisdictions in the lifestyle of Freemasonry. Perhaps our circling the wagons around such a civility effort will mobilize some of our less connected members. Didn't we all become Masons with the ideal of making the world better by making ourselves better men? My brethren, Freemasonry provides the opportunity for ordinary men who hold a shared set of morals and values to do extraordinary things. We must not let our brethren down. We cannot let society down. I therefore ask you, my brethren, if not us, then who? And if not now, well, I shudder to even consider the consequences of our inaction. It is my hope that we, as the leaders of our gentle craft, will have the courage to incorporate our Masonic tools and enlightenment to help to repair our world. Do we have the fortitude to take full advantage of this opportunity? If so, then we, as Masons from across the world, will be true ambassadors of civility in society. We will demonstrate our relevance in our communities, and we will then be able to say with conviction that due to our efforts, our world is a better place. And then, my brethren, may harmony forever prevail.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, and this has been the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, brought to you by the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of supporting the worthy goals of disaster relief campaigns, hospital visitation, and the spread of Masonic information and knowledge. If you agree with supporting these worthy goals, please donate. And thank you.